Welcome to New Life Assembly of God Media Ministry. We are glad that you are here. We believe the Word of God is relevant and life-changing, and we hope you can be blessed by this message.
Worship team, we love and appreciate you. Praise the Lord. If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 5 in just a moment. And we're starting a new series this morning, Winning the Battle in Your Mind. How many of you know that's the toughest battle we face? Amen. In our mind. And today's message is titled Reclaiming Your Mind. And this series will be for the next four Sundays. We encourage you to join us for each and every one of these messages. I believe that it will be life transformation. Amen. Again, this morning's message is Reclaim Your Mind. You know, we've all seen the proverbial image of a person with a devil on one shoulder and an angel on the other shoulder. Have you ever seen that? Amen. And it really dates back to the second century with a church leader named Origen, who taught that everyone has two attending angels, one an angel of righteousness and the other an angel of wickedness. And he asserts that whether our thoughts are righteous or evil depends on which one of those angels we're listening to. So that's the origin of that image. But the fact is that we do all have a battle going on in our mind. For instance, someone does something that offends you. And I think we can probably all identify with this illustration. Someone does something that offends you and a voice in your head says, tell them off. Give them a piece of your mind. Don't let them treat you like that. But as a believer, on the other hand, the Spirit says, guard your tongue. Speak with grace and respond with love and forgiveness. How many of you have ever experienced that going on inside of you? Amen. I know it's happened to me. And there's this kind of tug of war that takes place in your thoughts. And the Apostle Paul even experienced that. And of course, the battle extends beyond somebody hurting you or offending you. It extends to every facet of our life where there are these two influences, these two spirits that are pulling on us. And in fact, Paul describes this in Romans 7, where he explains the battle that was being waged in his mind, saying, the things that I want to do what is good, but I don't. And I don't want to do what is wrong, but somehow I end up doing it anyway. And so in that whole chapter of Romans 7, he describes this kind of tug of war that was taking place inside of him once he came to Christ. Of course, before you come to Christ, there's no tug of war because the Bible says you're just under the power of darkness and you just live according to the passions of the flesh. So there's no war going on. The war starts once you accept Christ. Amen. Again, in Galatians 5, he talks about how the spirit and the flesh are fighting against one another, and we need to surrender to the spirit and so put to death the flesh. So there is this battle that is taking place inside. And so I think we can all identify with Paul's words in Romans 7, where we know what is right and what is good, and that's what we want to do. But instead, we find ourselves often making wrong choices and bad decisions and doing the things that we don't want to do. So how do we overcome that? Why do we do that? We do that because our brain is trained over time by our experiences and by the influences of darkness in this world to think in a certain way. And so when we determine to think otherwise, our brain tends to respond like a rubber band. Amen? What we do with a rubber band is that you stretch it, right? So we're stretching our brain when we say, I want to think a different way. I want to think the right way. I want to think godly. And so like that rubber band, you stretch your brain to think in a different way. But what happens the moment you release that rubber band? It snaps right back to its original shape. And so that's the kind of battle that's taking place in our mind. Of course, we know that the Bible says that apart from Christ, our original state of thinking has been darkened by sin. So our original state of thinking is at enmity with God, Paul tells us in Romans 8. The way we think is opposed to God. And that's our original state apart from the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And that's why the Bible repeatedly speaks of the importance of renewing our mind. And thankfully, You know, we talked about Romans 7, Paul experiencing that battle, the things that he wanted to do, he didn't do, and the things he didn't want to do, he ended up doing. But he didn't stay in that conundrum of desiring to do good, only ending up to do wrong. And we don't need to stay in that place either. As Paul moves through Romans 8, he describes how we can experience victory in our mind by surrendering to the Holy Spirit so that we can live a life that's pleasing to God. And he teaches us how to fight the battle for our mind. And one of the chief passages where he teaches us to fight that battle in our mind is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Read that passage with me, if you will. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do, meaning that we can't fight this battle in our own strength or ability. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. The King James says, bringing every thought that exalts itself against Christ into captivity to him. Amen. So in this passage, Paul talks about the fact that we have strongholds of thinking that have been established in our mind. And a stronghold is not really something that we are familiar with in our everyday experience, but it's something that they were familiar with back then. It was a fortress place, like a walled city, amen? So when he talks about the stronghold, he's talking about these deeply entrenched ways of thinking in our mind that have developed over years. And he describes how we are engaged in a spiritual battle, and the enemy attacks our mind in order to build these strongholds, these fortressed areas of human reasoning and deceptive arguments that are in rebellion against Christ and cause us to disobey Christ. And this is what I want us to get in our spirit today. If Satan can control your thoughts, he can control your life. He can control your actions. Amen. Of course, before coming to Christ, we were under the dominion of darkness, and there were all sorts of strongholds that have been built in our mind through years of living in the world and being under the power of darkness. And those strongholds continue to be built. And these can be strongholds of sin. They can be strongholds of negative and unhealthy thinking that can keep us trapped in a life that is not pleasing to God. The battle is to regain control of our mind, taking every thought captive into obedience to Christ so that we can live the life that God is calling us to live, the abundant life, the victorious life, the holy life, the life that's pleasing to him. The good news is that we don't have to do this ourselves. We don't have to fight this battle in our own strength or ability. God has given us supernatural weapons to destroy the devil's strongholds and to win the battle for our mind. And that's why the name of this series is Winning the Battle in Your Mind. And I encourage you, don't miss one Sunday of this series. Amen. But what we have to understand is that our thoughts have the power to shape our lives. And that's a truth that is clearly attested to numerous times in Scripture. And that's why our mind is a battlefield, because Satan understands that if he can influence or control our thoughts, then he can control our lives. Our mind is a battlefield, but the Scripture assures us that the battle can be won. So today we want to better understand this battle and how we can reclaim our mind, destroying the strongholds of the enemy and bringing every thought into obedience to Christ so that we can live the life that God desires us to live. The first principle I want us to see is the thoughts that dominate your mind determine your life. The thoughts that dominate your mind determine your life. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Whatever thoughts dominate your mind, the Bible says, that's what's going to result in the way that you live in your life. Amen. So whatever characterizes your thoughts characterizes your life. So I want you to do a self audit right now. You're not going to answer out loud, but do a self audit right now and be honest with yourself. Amen. What characterizes your thought life? What do you think about most? Now, we're going to look at three types of thoughts that are the points, the main points at which Satan attacks and establishes strongholds in our mind. The first area of thinking in which Satan establishes a stronghold is worrisome thoughts. Mm-hmm. Is your mind filled continually with thoughts of worry, doubt, panic, anxiety? Whenever you're thinking about your life or the future or something happens, does your mind naturally drift to worst case scenario? Your kid is a half an hour late coming home from an activity and you're immediately thinking, they must have had a car accident. Something terrible must have happened. You know, you go to the doctor and the doctor says, we need to run some additional tests. And immediately your mind is running 100 miles an hour. Oh, maybe it could be this disease. Oh, maybe it might be that. Have you ever experienced that? Amen. Our mind just has this bent to run towards worst case scenario, to think about whatever could go wrong and believe that it has. Do you continually find yourself worried about your health, your children, the economy, or what is going on in the world? Does that press heavy upon you? Or are you filled with peace that passes all understanding, knowing that our life is in God's hands and that he is working in all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose? So what dominates your mind? Another area of thoughts in which Satan builds a stronghold is in the area of negative thoughts. So how does that manifest itself? Do you assume the worst about people? You know, they don't look at you right one morning, or they don't say hello to you, and you immediately, you know what? They must have something wrong in their heart. They must be bitter. They must be this. They must be that. They must have some kind of grudge they're holding. You assume the worst about people. You assume the worst about situations, or do you assume the best? Do you assume the best? Do you wake up dreading the day, thinking life is just too hard, times are tough, there's just too much to do, I just can't handle it, it's overwhelming? Do thoughts of failure fill your mind, or do you wake up saying, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me? Whatever I face today, I know his grace is sufficient for me. And even if I feel weak, I know that his strength is made perfect in my weakness. How do you wake up in the morning? What thoughts fill your mind? Do you say, life may be hard, but I know God is working in all things? So do negative or faith-filled thoughts characterize your thinking? Do negative or faith-filled thoughts characterize your thinking? Now, a third main area in which Satan attacks us and builds strongholds is in worldly and sinful thinking. Do your thoughts naturally run to the things of this world, like money, possessions, success, recognition, or even how many followers do you have on social media and how many likes did your latest post get? Worldly thinking. Hallelujah.
Keep it real, make it plain,
Pastor. Are our thoughts filled with lust, pride, hate? I always go back to that social media. I often see it so much as just, you know, a place to brag. Have you ever noticed that? To brag about your vacation, to brag about, you know, somebody in your life, to brag, you know, and it's just putting the best of your life out there. Amen. But anyway, that's another sermon for another day. Are your thoughts filled with lust? Are your thoughts filled with pride, hate, guilt, shame, anger, bitterness, self-pity, hatred, anger, selfishness, meanness? There's some people that they just wake up in the morning mean, ready to fight bulldogs for a living. Amen. They just growl at everybody. Amen. Or is your mind fixed on what is eternal? Is your mind fixed on loving God, on doing his will, on saying in the morning, Lord, I trust myself to you. I know you have a plan for me today, and whatever you desire for me to do, I'm at your disposal, God. I'm available to you. Are your minds continually running towards doing his will and reaching the lost and using your spiritual gifts to minister to others? When you identify the worrisome, negative, and worldly thoughts that dominate your thinking, you will identify the strongholds that Satan has built in your life. So being honest with yourself, go back to that self-evaluation question. What kinds of thoughts dominate your thinking? Could you identify with any of these three areas that we talked about? What thoughts dominate your thinking? And the answer to that question is exceedingly more important than we can imagine, because You are what you think. Again, as a man thinks in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. You cannot act differently than your dominant thoughts. You cannot act differently than your dominant thoughts. So if your mind is filled with worrisome, negative, or worldly thoughts, it's going to steer your life in a life of fear, in a life of not willing to step out in faith, being afraid to take risks, being afraid to take advantage of new opportunities, etc., etc. So anybody, now just picture this in your mind. Has anybody here ever been to the Grand Canyon? Anybody? Few of you. All right. I was, and it's just breathtaking. Amen. It just is such an awesome, awesome display of God's incredible majesty and power. It's beautiful, beautiful. But this jagged 277-mile-long gorge was carved by water rushing down from the Rocky Mountains, forming the Colorado River. And that constant flow of water over hundreds of years carved the Great Canyon, reaching depths of 1 mile in places. That's how the flow of water just kept, you know, eroding and eroding to where it reaches that depth of 1 mile. Did you know that similarly, scientists have discovered that repeated thoughts, just like the repeated flow of water, that repeated thoughts actually create deep grooves in your brain. Wow. Have you ever seen a picture of a brain and how it has those creases, those grooves in it? They say repeated thoughts create grooves in your brain. And that's what enables us to learn something and remember it. So, for instance, when I was in high school, back in prehistoric days when they used typewriters... Y'all remember when they used to use typewriters? Thank God we were delivered from that and all that correcto type and everything. If you made a mistake on a page, sometimes you had to throw the whole thing away. But, you know, one of the classes that they had us take was typing. And so I learned how to type. And at first, you know, when you first learn how to use a keyboard, you know, you have to look at where your fingers are and you have to make sure that they're in the right place and you make a lot of mistakes, right? But with practice, by the time I finished that semester, I was typing over 100 words a minute. Didn't have to look at my fingers. Now, nowadays, I use a computer virtually every day for work and I don't even have to think about it, right? My fingers just go to the right places and I can type very, very fast. But that practice of the skill of typing made a deep groove in my brain. So it's reflex action. I don't even have to think about where I put my fingers. Y'all following what I'm talking about? Amen? And so this can be a positive thing, but it is also what makes breaking a bad habit so very difficult, because you got a deep groove in your brain to do the wrong thing. Amen. Now, the average person thinks somewhere between 12,000 to 60,000 thoughts per day. And most of those thoughts are random. And science says that most of those thoughts are predominantly negative, creating a negative groove in our brain. Research shows that 80% of our thoughts are negative, and 95% of our thoughts were exactly the same repetitive is an idol. I've seen it even happen with people when they fall in love.
Wow.
You know, before they fall in love, they're in church all the time, they're involved in ministry. And they're coming to the altar. Oh, God, send me my mate, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let them be good looking, Lord. Let them be this. Let them be that. You know, and they come, Pastor, will you pray for me that God will send me a spouse? And the minute they meet somebody, their history. What they do, they made an idol out of that person and allowed that person to supplant the place of God in their life. So anything we allow to take the place that belongs only to God is an idol. And we need to destroy that stronghold of worldliness and sin. How do we do that? We regularly renew our mind with God's word by sitting under the anointing, anointed preaching and teaching of God's word, and by having daily devotions. That's what's going to get worldliness out of our mind. That's what's going to get sinfulness out of our thinking. In Ephesians 5:26, Paul writes that God sanctifies and cleanses us by the washing of water by the word. So how does God cleanse our thinking? He washes our thinking. He cleans our thinking with his word. Amen. With his word. The water is symbolic of the word and, of course, the work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification is the work of God through his word and through his spirit. And holiness is separation from the world and sin and dedication to God. And that's what how he wants us to live. So to destroy the stronghold of worldliness and sin, we need to be sanctified by the word and by the work of the spirit. So that means that we need to regularly put ourselves in an environment where the word of God is saturating our mind, both through times of daily being in God's word and by regularly sitting under the anointed preaching and teaching of God's word, so that our old thoughts, our old attitudes, our old ways of thinking, our old values, our old morals will be cleansed by the word and the spirit, washing out the old worldly sinful ways of thinking and developing new godly thoughts, attitudes, values, and morals in us. Amen. That's the renewing of our mind. Wow. Through which God transforms our life so that we can live a life that is pleasing and honoring to him and that will fulfill his good will and purpose for us. The word of God is alive and powerful, and it is a supernatural weapon of our warfare that is able to change our lives. You are what you think. Yep. And the thoughts that dominate your mind determine your life. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you happy with where you are in life? And is God pleased with where you are in life, with how you're living? Our life, who we are and where we are, is the sum total of all of our thoughts up to this point. But the good news is that our future can be changed by changing our thinking, by allowing God to renew our mind through his word and his spirit. And this should be an ongoing prayer in the life of every believer, because we need our minds to be daily renewed. Amen. So that our lives can be transformed. Reclaim your mind, church. Don't allow Satan to have control. Don't allow Satan to establish strongholds of wrongful thinking. Choose to bring every thought into captivity to Christ through prayer and his word. And of course, the first step to a changed mind and a changed life is to have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It starts with repentance. It starts with placing our faith in Christ. It is only through God that we can have supernatural weapons that can destroy the strongholds and give us victory in the battle. We've all sinned, and sin separates us from God. We were cut off from God by sin, and Jesus came. He lived a sinless life, and he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. So now, when we repent and turn to him in faith, we are forgiven, we are made spiritually alive, and we begin a lifelong relationship with God, a lifelong relationship of learning to love and live for him. And if you're here today, I want you to bow your heads with me, or those that may be listening at home, bow your heads with me. And if you have never given your heart to Christ, or maybe you did so many years ago and you've drifted away, I want to encourage you to pray with me in just a moment, a prayer of repentance, recognizing that we are heading in the wrong direction and turning around in faith and saying, God, forgive me. I place my faith in you. Save me. Come live inside of me. And the moment we do that, we become born again and we begin a new life, a life lived in relationship with God, where he's working in us and changing us. So if you want to pray this morning and receive Christ as your Savior, would you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you love me so much that you died for my sins. Today, I confess that I'm a sinner. I repent. I turn away from my sinful life. I ask you to forgive me. And I place my faith in you as my Lord and my Savior. I ask you to come live inside of me and help me from this day forward to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, we want to congratulate you on making the best decision of your life, and we welcome you to the family of God. If you prayed that prayer, we'd like to ask you, if you're in-house, just to text "I prayed" to the number on the screen, or online type "I prayed" in the comments, because we'd like to send you free of charge a little e-booklet to help you understand the prayer commitment that you just made and how to keep growing in your relationship with the Lord from this point, because that prayer was a beginning, not an ending. So please go ahead and type "I prayed" and text it to the number on the screen, or type "I prayed" online. And for everyone, those that just prayed, and also every one of us that's serving the Lord, I want to encourage you to do three things every day so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with the Lord. Number one, talk to God every day. That's what we call prayer. Thank him for the good things in your life, and then talk to him about any problems, any difficulties, any decisions that you're making, and ask his help in your life. That's prayer at a very basic level. Talk to God every day. He loves you. He's your heavenly Father. He wants to hear from you. Secondly, let God talk to you. You know, having a relationship with God is a two-way street. God wants to talk to you as well. And the number one way that he speaks to us is through the Bible. That's his word, his message to us. If you don't have a printed version of the Bible, you can download the YouVersion app. That's Y-O-U version, the YouVersion app, for free on your phone or tablet. And you can read there as often as you want, never a charge. I'll encourage you to start reading in 1 John, a small book in the New Testament that will help you understand what Christ has done for you and what it means in your life. So let God talk to you every day by reading a small portion of scripture, praying and asking God to help you understand what you're reading and apply it to your life. And then thirdly, get involved in a local church family. Don't just attend, but develop relationships. Those relationships are so important to encourage us, to pray for us, and to walk alongside of us and help us grow in our faith journey. So I encourage every Christian, and especially those who just prayed, to do those three things regularly, and you will have a vibrant and growing relationship with the Lord. For those of us who have already given our hearts to Christ, let's commit today to reclaim our mind for him. Let's identify any strongholds that Satan has established in our mind by honestly evaluating our thought life and saying, you know, what kind of thoughts dominate my thinking? Are they worrisome thoughts? Are they negative thoughts? Are they worldly thoughts or sinful thoughts? Because whatever dominates our mind, that's the point of the enemy's attack against us. And then bring those strongholds, identify them, and then bring them before the Lord in prayer and pray for God to break those areas in your mind, and then saturate yourself with the word of God, particularly scriptures that counter the type of stronghold that Satan has built in your mind. So for instance, if worry is the stronghold, then focus on scriptures that talk about faith and trusting God. For negativity, focus on scriptures about strength, about how God fights our battles, about how God gives us victory, about how God assures us of his love and presence with us. For worldliness and sin, focus on scriptures about purity and holiness. Whatever it is, just saturate your mind with the word. Let's destroy the strongholds of the enemy with the supernatural weapons that God has given us, so that Satan will not have any control or influence over us, and we can live lives that are pleasing and honoring to God. If that's your desire, to bring every thought into captivity of Christ and to allow him to renew your mind so that you can live a life that's pleasing and honoring to him, would you just stand and make your way to this altar, and let's just spend a couple minutes in prayer and make this commitment to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Just lift your hands towards heaven right now, and you just speak to God from your own heart, and you make that commitment to bring your mind and surrender it to Christ, to bring every thought into subjection to Christ, so that the Spirit and his word can rule in your mind, and every stronghold and chain of darkness will be broken over your life. Talk to the Lord from your heart right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for all of these that have come forward. I thank you, Lord, that we are hearing and receiving your word, and we want your word to change our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit, O God. Father, as we stand before you today, we make a commitment to you to reclaim our mind, to not just haphazardly and lackadaisically allow the enemy to infiltrate our thinking and build strongholds, Lord God, but we make a commitment to intentionally bring every thought in subjection to Christ. We make a commitment, Lord God, to allow you to renew our mind mind through your word, Lord God, by saturating ourselves with your word, by daily reading and studying your word, by regularly being in your house and sitting under the teaching and preaching of your word, so that our thoughts can be renewed, so that old ways of thinking can be washed and cleansed, Lord God, and new ways of thinking can be developed in our heart and mind. Free us, Lord God. Destroy the strongholds of darkness and set us free to live a life that's pleasing and honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's sing this song as we close.
Thank you for joining us today. If you were blessed by this message, would you consider giving a gift to help support our ministry? You can text any amount to 954-516-1522. That's 954-516-1522. Thank you, and we hope you will join us again.